Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. It'll be the second message. I said I was going to do four. I might do more. I was looking at this this more. I entitled the series, Who is Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Last week we looked at Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And today we'll look at Jesus Christ as prophet. Christ as prophet. Deuteronomy 18. Verses 15 to 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 19. And as I said in the last study, we looked at Christ as the Son of God and how He was God incarnated in the flesh, and He is God. There is no other God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He is co-equal with the Father and the Spirit. The God-man. God incarnated in the flesh. Fully God and fully man, born of a virgin, as prophesied in Genesis. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 19. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So here we're going to look at today the office of prophet, the one spoken of here. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. In verse 15 and 18, I will raise them up a prophet. Now the word prophet comes to us in the Greek, which means a foreteller or an inspired speaker. Old Testament prophets, having foretold the kingdom deeds and death of Christ the Messiah, John the Baptist was the messenger, the forerunner of the Messiah. And as I said in our instruction, we looked at how Christ was the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh. God incarnate in the flesh. And today we'll look at Christ as prophet. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1. So it tells us here in Deuteronomy, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. And look at Hebrews chapter 1. We'll see how this ties in here. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Lord God Jesus Christ, the prophet, prophesied about in Deuteronomy. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and the prophets spoke of this prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. So in the Old Testament, the prophets testified of Christ. They were pointing to Christ. They were prophesying about Christ. He was the one that they spoke of. We see this in Deuteronomy. He is the one. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 1:5. The Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. Revelation 1:5. Look at this. Right in this verse, we have prophet, priest, and king. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He's the faithful witness as prophet. He's the faithful witness's prophet. The first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, the firstborn of the dead is priest, and the prince of the kings of the earth is king. Prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, priest, and king. In the Old Testament, the prophet was the mouthpiece of God to the people. And in the Old Testament, when you're reading through the Old Testament, Take note, the prophets always say, "Thus saith the Lord." Thus saith the Lord. Speaking. Thus saith the Lord. Christ is the one who the prophets prophesied would come. He is the Messiah. God incarnate in the flesh. He is the prophet spoken of in Deuteronomy 18. The prophet. He is the prophet of prophets. Oh my. In all the Old Testament types and shadows find their completeness in Him. In Him. They all point right to Him. All the history of redemption in the Old Testament all pointed to Christ, who is the Lamb of God. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. The prophets proclaim forgiveness and pardon of God, the pardon of God in a coming Redeemer. In a coming Redeemer. And think of this too. The Lord Jesus Christ is the final prophet. The final prophet. He is the one who was spoken of by all the prophets in Scripture. He's the final one. Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The prophets proclaim forgiveness and pardon. The forgiveness and pardon of God in Christ and Him alone. How do we speak comfortably to Jerusalem? How do we speak comfortably to the church? Salvation's of the Lord. And in Him, we have the forgiveness of all our sins. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 1. I know I have us moving around a lot here today. John chapter 1. He is the final prophet, the one spoken of by all the prophets in Scripture. Not only did He proclaim the words of the Father, the words of God, but He was God incarnate in the flesh. You've seen Him, you've seen the Father. Look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He proclaimed our need to repent, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Mark 1:15. Colossians 1:14. He's the one in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And this is only found in our great prophet, priest, and king. Only in Him. Nowhere else. So let us keep in mind also what we read in Deuteronomy, right? The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Look in John 1. Starting in verse 45. And keep in mind this. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Right? From the midst of thee. Of thy brethren like unto me, and unto him ye shall hearken. Look at this. Verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." And here it is. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Here he is. Right here. Right before us. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael saith unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Now he's God incarnate in the flesh. Nathanael's never met him. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou this? Thou shalt see greater things than these." But note in verse 45, and keep in mind what we read in Deuteronomy, right? The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. And Philip says, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write." Here he is. and mighty prophets. So let's go back to our passage in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him ye shall hearken. Here before us we are told in Scripture that God will raise up a prophet from the midst of the Israelites, from amongst them. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 3. Keep your finger, though, in Deuteronomy. He will raise up a prophet. And note that it's God who will do this. It's God who will do this. And the prophet will be from among their brethren, like unto thee. Matthew Henry says of this statement, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. This speaks of Christ, and it is the clearest promise of Him that is in all the law of Moses. It is expressly applied to our Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 14 to 23. But ye denied the Holy One, the One that was prophesied in the Old Testament, and the just, perfect, sinless, spotless, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. In His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets, that Christ should suffer, so hath He hath so fulfilled. It was all prophesied, all of it. And this is the very one. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Comfort ye my people. God's people, their sins are blotted out by the sacrifice of Christ. When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto your fathers, here we go, look at this, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. That's the same as what we read in Deuteronomy. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Salvation's only in Christ. Salvation's only in the great prophet. The great prophet. He's the light of the world. He's the promised. He was promised to come. He's the Word by whom God speaks to us. That God would raise Him up from the midst of them. And this is speaking of the Jewish nation, Israel. In His birth, that He should be one of that nation. And He was. He shall live among them, be sent to them. In His resurrection, He'd be raised up in Jerusalem. And His doctrine, His gospel, will go forth to all the world from there. Oh my. What God promises comes to pass, doesn't it? Oh, it's incredible. And look in our text again, too. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. The promised prophet was to be like Moses. Now Moses, though, represents the law. The Lord Jesus Christ is all grace. But here are some ways that Moses was a type of Christ. Moses was hardly born when his life was sought by bloody men. And no sooner was the birth of Jesus known than Herod sought to destroy the young child. Moses brought God's people out of the house of bondage. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, what does He do? He delivers his people. He delivers his people from a far worse bondage than an Egyptian bondage. He delivers his people out from the bondage of their sins. Oh my, what a great king, like unto me. And Moses was a mediator, wasn't he? He was a mediator between God and man. What is Christ to his people? He is the great mediator. The great mediator between God and his people. In Galatians it says this, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Moses served as a mediator between Israel and God. Exodus says this, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet in the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off." They were terrified. "And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." He was a mediator, a picture of Christ, a picture of Christ, our mediator. And Moses received the words of God and bore it to the people. He received the words of God and bore it to the people. And no one but Moses performed this office to the Jews. Oh, what a picture. The believer only has one mediator, right? Between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. There's only one. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. Moses was very intimate with God. The Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus 33:11 says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ was God incarnate, God in eternity. If you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. "No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." John 1:18. And God's people are made willing to come to the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Oh, the wonderful drawn power of the Holy Spirit, that he didn't leave we who believe where we were. And we are made willing. We're not robots. We're not robots. But we are made willing. And we run to Christ willingly. Willingly. We flee to him. "My sheep hear my voice." They hear the voice of the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they run to him. They run to him. And let us note that it's all the work of God who's raising up the prophet in our text. It's all. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee." It's all his work. It's all his work. God is sovereign, even if people don't believe it. He's absolutely sovereign. He's a king. This is his domain. And he does whatever he pleases. And this is the believer's God. This is who our trust is in. This is who our rest is in. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 7. And then put your finger in John 17. Our text says, "I will raise up," in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 18:18, I'll read this. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth." So this prophet will speak the words of God. Look at John 7. From the lips of our mighty Savior. John 7, 15 to 18. "And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, Never having learned. He wasn't trained up by the Pharisees. He wasn't part of the upper crust. He didn't go through their seminaries. He didn't need to. He's God incarnate in the flesh. And the Jews marveled. They marveled. He's a common, as far as they know, he's a common man. A carpenter's son. They don't know who he is. They have no clue. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered and said, and remember in Deuteronomy 18, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth." Look at what he says here. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Here is the prophet. Here he is, beloved. If any man will do his will, he shall know of doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. This is the great prophet. My doctrine is not mine. Deuteronomy 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among the brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Turn, if you would, over to John 17. And keep this in mind, what we just looked at. Oh, this is the prophet spoken of in Deuteronomy. Christ is prophet. John 17, verses 5 to 9. The high priestly prayer. "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Here we have right before us Christ proclaiming he's God. The glory that he had. The glory that he had before he came to earth. And look at this. "I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and have kept thy word." Remember, in Deuteronomy it says he'll put the words in the prophet's mouth. "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given," look at this, "unto them the words which thou gavest me." Oh, what a glimpse we have here before us. The Almighty King, the prophet spoken of in Deuteronomy. "I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." And they have what? Made a decision? No, it doesn't say that, does it? No, no. Oh, beloved. They have received. They've received them. If you've received them, give God all the glory. Give it all to Him. They have received them and have known surely that I come out from Thee. And they have believed that Thou didst send me. Oh, the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then look at this. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world." Christ doesn't pray for everyone. But he does for his people. Oh, he does. For those he's loved from eternity. For those his love has been set upon. An everlasting love. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine." God's elect are God's people. From eternity. Fills our hearts with joy. We who believe fills our hearts with joy because we know how undeserving we are. And then look at the warning. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Look at the warning in verse 18. And then put your finger in Hebrews 2 if you could. Look at this warning. Now we do not know who God's elect are. We proclaim the gospel and God does the same. We proclaim the mighty one, the prophet, the one who's prophet, priest, and king. The one who's the redeemer of his people. Look at this warning in Deuteronomy 18:19. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And then look over in Hebrews chapter 2. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he spake in my name, I will require it of him. These folks who say that oh, everyone's saved. No. No. The only ones who are saved are those who believe in the Redeemer, those who trust in Christ, those who rest in him. And look at this, and look at that. Keep that verse in mind in light of Hebrews 2:2. Because this prophet is the only way of salvation. There's no salvation outside of him. None at all. Look at Hebrews 2, verses 2 and 3. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now keep in mind, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In Deuteronomy 18:19 says this, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. I don't want to leave us on that note because that's a very solemn part. But think of this. That which was required of us is paid for in Christ. That which was required for every one of God's elect, all the demands of the law and wrath of God for the believer is paid for. Paid for. So let us remember this, that salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, only in him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's no escape outside of Christ, is there? None. And remember, he's not a fire escape. People in religion pray a prayer and thinking it's a fire escape. No. I'll tell you what. When the Lord saves a sinner, he keeps coming to Christ. He just continuously comes to Christ. It's not a one-time thing, I'm done. No, he becomes everything. Now, the believer's going to grow in grace. I'm not saying we don't have anxiety, because we do. We get worked up about things, don't we? But what's our constant rest? Whenever trouble comes, whenever a trial comes, what's our constant rest? Christ. We always go back to him. We always go to him. He becomes, and reposing, you often hear me say, reposing is just, I'm reposing on him. That's what you're reposing right now. And that's what the believer does. They repose in Christ. Repose in him. Trust him for everything. And we do, don't we? We have salvation and no other. We've been bought to the end of ourselves. Shut up to Christ. Often think, and this is a kind of a different analogy, but my brother, for a while, he used to have cattle, and they would have to take the cattle and bring them into a place to either vaccinate them or do different things. But they had this thing that. And I'm not much of a farmer. I don't know a lot about it, but I do remember that they would corral them into this little, and then they'd shut the door. They were shut up into that section. They couldn't go anywhere else. The believer is shut up to Christ. Shut up to him. Where shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So the great prophet that's spoken of, we have seen in the text that we looked at today, is Christ. Is Christ and him alone. Oh, that God would grant faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if He's not your Savior. Oh, that He'd show you your desperate need. Oh, we who believe are sinners saved by the grace of God in Christ. We have nothing else. We've been bought to the end of ourselves. And we give all praise to the one who is our prophet, our priest, and our king. We give Him all the glory.